Turning to our reading of Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time. We are continuing chapter 23, Pigeons. Two special friends entered Tesla's life in this period, a sculptor and a writer, whose respective talents would help to preserve his name and achievements from the obscurity that could befall even a famous person who had neither heirs nor corporate identity to prod the public's memory. And my comment, what testifies to our bootless, rootless condition when subject to the rule of global statesmen more clearly than that we cannot choose to remember our greats? That the ribs are showing not just through our thin souls, but through our emaciated memories. Continuing, the 19-year-old science writer Kenneth M. Suezzi arrived on the scene to join the ranks of the inventor's permanent coterie. And I comment, we can't afford to forget Power's MO with a threat, and there is none greater, save Prince, than Nikola Tesla. It surrounds them with agents, among which it often preferences women and children as more likely to evade our suspicion of being such, and systematically gets rid of those who provide the spiritual support that sustains life. In our April 9, 2017 show, among others, and for this show excerpt, see the MP3 file, Nikola's Etheric Waves, we argue that the evidence suggests that Suezzi was one of the false ones. Continuing. The 19-year-old science writer Kenneth M. Suezzi arrived on the scene to join the ranks of the inventor's permanent coterie, and the Yugoslav sculptor Ivan Mestrovic, middle-aged and already famous in Europe, came to New York to introduce his work to America. Tesla and the sculptor cherished common memories of their childhoods in the mountains of Yugoslavia. Both were poets at heart. They met often in New York, talking about anything and everything. Both worked late into the night and had a similar problem. Mestrovic was forced to wrangle his hunks of marble from one hotel to another for lack of a studio, and shared their pleasure in reciting Serbian poetry. Along the way, Mestrovic was introduced to the daily routine of feeding the pigeons of Manhattan. Long after the sculptor had returned to Split, Tesla, at the urging of Robert Johnson, wrote and asked him to do a bust of himself. He could not go to Europe, however, and Mestrovic was unable to return to America. Nevertheless, the latter wrote back, saying that he remembered the inventor so well that if Tesla would send a photograph, he would undertake the job. Tesla replied that he had no money. Mestrovic answered that none was needed. Good as his word, he sculpted and cast in bronze a powerful and sensitive likeness, now to be seen at the Tesla Museum in Belgrade, that transcended the miles, the years, and mere realism to capture the brooding essence of genius. And Margaret's appended note here reads, quote, a duplicate was also cast in bronze on Mestrovic's order, which may be seen at the Technical Museum in Vienna. It was unveiled June 29, 1952, by Tesla's nephew, Sava Kosanovic. As for the young Suezzi, on meeting the inventor for the first time in 1929, and my comment, Nikola is now 73, continuing, he was surprised to discover, as he wrote, a tall, skinny man of upright posture, who might go about for hours in a daze of concentration, but who also had a side intensely human and, quote, almost painfully sensitive, with fellow feeling for everything that lives, unquote. Suezzi himself, residing in a bleak apartment in Brooklyn, had few close ties to family or friends. He became both a journalistic champion of the scientist and a devoted admirer. The old man and the younger were often together. Although Tesla worked hard while others slept, he also knew how to refresh himself with long rambles through the city. Swezi often joined him on these nocturnal excursions. He too was introduced to the pigeons. One evening, as they were walking down Broadway, with Tesla discoursing intensely on his system for sending electrical power wirelessly to the ends of the earth, the inventor suddenly lowered his voice. "However, what I am anxious about at this moment," he said, "is a little sick bird I left up in my room. It worries me more than all my wireless problems put together," unquote. The pigeon, which he had picked up 2 days before in front of the library, had a crossed beak, which had started a cancerous growth on its tongue so that it could not eat. Tesla had saved it from slow death and said that with patient treatment, it would soon become strong and well. But not all of the birds he saved could be fitted into his hotel room, where the servants already complained of dirt. Quote, "In a large cage in a pet shop," wrote Swezi, "are several dozen more pigeons. Some had wing diseases, others broken legs. At least one was cured of gangrene, which the bird specialist pronounced incurable. If a pigeon is afflicted with something that Tesla has not the facilities to treat, it is put under the care of a competent physician," unquote. And my comment, now that's a powerful man. Continuing, he and Swezi, as they walked, talked of Einstein, diet, exercise, fashion, marriage. Quoting Swezi, "Tesla's only marriage had been to his work and to the world," wrote the young man, "as was Newton's and Michelangelo's, to a particular universality of thought. He believes, as Sir Francis Bacon did, that the most enduring works of achievement have come from childless men," unquote. The inventor confided to his young companion that mental anguish, fire, commercial opposition, and other trials had merely fanned his productiveness, and that he still felt he could rise highest in the face of great resistance. He also said that he had earned in his lifetime over $2 million. Yet, for him to have earned this sum, he probably would have to have received the legendary $1 million for his alternating current patents from Westinghouse. And Margaret appends this note, quote, "Much later, after the inventor's death, Swezi made a careful effort to verify this story by examining the Westinghouse archives. He could find nothing to support it," unquote. And I comment here. To me, however, this comment of Nicholas and his earlier one about a sick bird worrying him more than all his wireless problems put together, unquote, illustrate Nicholas' distinctive attention to precision in language, to truth. He hearkens, expresses when he speaks the deep and authentic meanings of things. He tells the truth. Truly, he was not worried about his wireless problems. Why should he be? The matter is in our hands now, and it's past time for us to call the question. And truly, he had earned far more. Can any deny it? In fact, he earned an incalculable sum, far more than $2 million in all that he has given us. Get it on. Zero point approaches and the fields around you drop. Thoughts become reality and it feels like time has stopped. On the turn, the radio is electromagnetic pop. Steady your teeth and gnash.
Right on. Love for the greater number. Freezes over and cools. Everyone around you acts like a bloody fool. No sanctity to the left of you. No righteousness to the right. The only thing that's left in fashion. Compassion. Get it on. Compassion. Whatever skin you're in, we all need to be friends. All happy again, so much better than nothing. Everybody can win with a little faith in me. Beginning of the end, start up a brand new something.
When ego, fear, and judgment become the rule of law, watch the polar ice caps heat up, melt down, and thaw. When the greedy one forgets that he's a reason for love, the only goal that's worth stashing.
Again, it's so much better than nothing. Everybody can win with a little faith.